This podcast is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to help expand our programming, head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a TSW patron. You'll receive exclusive podcasts, access to a VIP Facebook group, monthly prize draws, Facebook Live sessions, and much, much more. Head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a TSW patron today, and the Force will be with you. Always. This is Talk Star Wars. The official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk. Hey everyone, it's Mark. Right, before we get into episode 93, I need to put out a major disclaimer. We had huge technical difficulties this week. We kept losing the call on Skype. And at the end there, we lost an entire chunk of the recording. So I have had to top and tail this episode with sections myself. So just be warned, there are major edits in this. Hopefully they're seamless and you won't even notice. But there are edits where we've pieced together subsequent calls after we had dropouts. But at the end of the show, I just lost the entire recording of our sign-off. So I've done the sign-off myself and plugged it on the end there. Hopefully it won't be too distracting, but you got the lion's share, 99.9% of this episode. We just lost the ending there, unfortunately, to tragic circumstances. Okay, so here we go. We're going to kick off episode 93 of Talk Star Wars as if we hadn't had huge technical problems. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I am Stephen.
And I'm Paul.
And there's no Hello. Rob this week. He's having a week off.
Hooray.
He's got a week cough.
It's episode 93, the episode that will hereby be known as Steve's earache episode. You're under the weather again, aren't you, chap?
Well, it's extended from being a stabbing Halloween-esque earache to a chainsaw to the left side of my face ache.
not good. You need more animals in your diet, mate.
Or how about a simple painkiller?
I've been taking them. I never take painkillers, and I've had everything in the last 24 hours. I even had a child aspirin earlier on.
I even had a child. It's like witchcraft trying to clear up the ear.
Yeah, I'm just going to crush this wee child in my pestle and mortar.
Nice. That's nice.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Should we awkwardly get into some thank yous now that we've spoken about eating children to try and clear up your eggs?
Yeah, somebody thought I was weird yesterday because I was trying to explain to them that I'd rather eat a human than an animal because humans are guilty. And I've created a cannibal website for people who want to meet people that want to meet each other called Cannibal Dating. And the tagline is, it will cost you an arm and a leg.
Nice. Don't launch that site yet, Steve.
No, I'm going to hold off.
I'm a breast man.
Nice. I'm a leg man. Also a bit partial to a wing. I don't know.
I've got a Russian follow already and drop off.
Oh, God. No. Right, look, before this ends into ridiculous joke time, let's move swiftly on. Okay, before we get started, we want to say a big thank you to Matthew Pickett for liking the Facebook page this week. Thank you, Matthew. Welcome to the party. I also wanted to just update people on our Patreon campaign. So I've officially added another goal. I think I might have mentioned it last week because it was starting to take shape back then. When we hit 200 patrons, I will start publishing the weekly show on a Saturday instead of a Monday to patrons only. So a nice early access perk. As soon as we hit 200 people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And you're going to have to create another day of the week.
Sorry, mate. Say again. Steve?
How many have we got? No, me.
Oh, so, no, Steve said something about creating another day of the week.
You're going to need another day of the week, aren't you, soon? Because you're podcasting every single moment of your life.
I do. I podcast every day. But when we're done with this show and it's edited, it's no bother for me to publish it to Patreon as well. So the patrons will get it. We're on our way. We're not quite to the 200 mark yet. That's my first goal. And every 200 patrons we get, we're going to do a live show as well, so people will get to interact
with
us. Well, that'd be no, cool. To everybody.
That'd be really enjoyable.
To everybody. It will just trigger the live show. So it will. I guess we'll probably do it in the Facebook or something like that, but we'll work it out. I haven't worked out any of the details yet.
Do you remember how weird it felt to do the first ever podcast, how unnatural and how I reckon we would, if we listened to one then and now, how remote it would seem and antithesis of each other.
I did just remaster our first ever podcast just recently. So I just remastered the audio and all the skills.
Was I'm that putting... a tenacious segue between the two of you planned earlier?
No, it was not. No, it was it wasn't. It was
not tenacious, tenuous.
No, it was it could be both, tenuous and tenacious. No, it was.
Was that tenaciously tenuous?
It's just something I did recently because I'd learned all these new techniques from Cody over at Rogue Squadron, who does this professionally. Learned all these different techniques for mastering the audio. So I thought, I'll give them a test run, and I did them on the worst recording we've got, which was our first ever podcast, and it scrubbed up quite well. Well indeed. It's
did we not sound like cretins?
No, that I couldn't change the content, Steve. Only the way it sounded. So yeah, we all still sounded like drunken fools. But
was that the one we did on my sofa
at your house? Yeah,
yeah. Which we've got the picture.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, for people listening, chuck it in on somewhere so they can have a look. That was the first ever one. Well, there was a lot of beer cans on the table.
I might sit on that podcast and just offer it out for as a perk. At some point, for people who are even remotely interested, I'm sure some people will be interested. Yeah,
and apologise that we're and it wasn't. Was
I might
that
have
a movie?
To go back for it. It was a movie against film news.
Movie against film. So it wasn't just Star Wars; it was everything.
It was everything, and Holy it was Toledo. Full of language. My goodness, we're going to have to. I might have to
English.
It will
We should bring some of the language back, but more of the bleeping because some people like. Although I know what you mean, if you're trying to open up to a wider audience, I guess that's right.
Yeah, I mean, the beeping stuff, I don't mind. When we do that on the After Dark side, that's fine. The language, I don't mind on the After Dark side, but this needs to be a little bit more accessible.
Yeah,
but
no. Totally
that Movie Geeks Film News, Steve, what you said about Jodie Foster, goodness me. Teasers.
What?
Yeah, we'll get back to that later. Anyway.
I've done like 400 hours of this now. I don't know what the hell I say most of the time last week, let alone 2 years. Jodie Foster. I don't think it was bad, was it?
It was terrible, yeah, but we'll get to that later.
It's just come back to me. Has it got anything to do with Bugsy Malone?
No. I'll remind you perhaps in the break, Steve. Next week's show...
I didn't mean it.
Next week's show is most likely... I know the spell check has done me wrong again and called it New Tweet Show, but that was next week's show will most likely, if we can record, will be a listener comms special. So I'm thinking of recording early next week, gents, because... I have obligations at the end of the week that change my schedule dramatically. So if we can record earlier next week, it will be a listener comm special. So people can email us anything they want. Doesn't just have to be about Star Wars.
About us.
It could be about how we met, how we got started in podcasting, anything you want. I've already got one question in the wings there waiting for that show if it happens. So if you're interested in hearing something that isn't just Star Wars, because... it's going to be an early one, and it's going to be nearly a week out from release. So the news, there might not be much in the way of news. But we'll see. We're going to play this by ear.
When you say a week out
not
from Steve's release?
Here.
It will be most likely if we're free to record Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And then it will go out the following Monday. So it will be a good idea if we did something special.
I thought you meant early in the evening.
No.
Tuesday's cool. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's cool. No worries. Hakuna Matata.
Paul, you're writing unamused in the show chat.
Get on with it.
Okay, right, let's move on then.
Steve's
only going to be awake another 3 minutes.
This is usually our review section, but we didn't get any reviews this week. But
you can see one there.
You can no, this is feedback from YouTube. Don't forget that you can take advantage of our Ron Burgundy policy. That means whatever you write in a 5-star review in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, we will read it verbatim. So if you want to promote something like a podcast or a blog,
that's where to do it. Is there any way they can review outside the means of iTunes and so on?
Well, it's kind of, they can, of course, but it does sort of negate
the point. Why don't we open this? Just send us a 5-star review and make it cool.
Or if you put it in iTunes, it helps the show grow, which is the
it
thing.
It does, yeah. But I don't listen in iTunes.
No, if you don't listen in iTunes, then feel free to do it on another platform. That's absolutely fine. And if you want to just email it in, that's fine too. Have some fun with it. But the idea of this is to sort of...
We ain't sticklers or nothing.
We ain't sticklers. Well, we are a little bit. Yeah, the idea of it is to sort of grow the presence in iTunes. So, yeah, 5-star review. You can put whatever you want in there and we will read it. There's only one rule. You've got to keep it clean because obviously we're a family show. So let's move into listener comms. We haven't got much in the way of listener comms this week. A little bit thin. The show notes are a little bit thin. There's not a lot of news even this week. So but if you want to contact us, like I say, for next week's show, which is going to be listener comms special, then you can send your questions and comments via Twitter and Facebook, or you can send them directly to us in an email or attach an MP3 as a voicemail to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com.
Pigeon. Go through the window.
talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com, or like Paul says, pigeons or stones through Paul's window. That'll be fine.
Windows are open. It's all good.
Right, we've got a couple of comments on our YouTube show from last week. Diego Odi, who had written us a comment last week and then we'd responded to it, said, "Oh, I didn't see that coming. Thanks so much for addressing my comment. I appreciate your answers." You're welcome, Diego. Thank you so much. YouTube's getting really active now. Some of the comments in there are really like biblical in their length, so it makes it difficult to squeeze them into the show. But Jolly 76 Council says, "Love the tasty heated debate this week." Because
what was that about?
Things
was
got a little bit fraught with tension at the start.
Was that in relation to relation to the AT-ATs being used and everyone comparing it to Empire and
yes.
so on? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. So there was a whole thread in YouTube dedicated to that subject this week, but like I say, it got a little bit hefty, so it would have taken up
what
quite
on
a bit
YouTube
of time.
Or on the podcast?
In the comments. The comment thread went on a bit long, so it would be difficult to sort of paste it all into the show. But people
that wasn't heated.
Really.
That wasn't heated. It was just
that
long.
Wasn't heated. Just long. Okay. Just a lot of it. So
we weren't heated on here. Really.
We do like a mass debate, don't we?
Yeah.
I can see what you're doing, Stephen, and it's not funny or clever. Although it is kind of funny.
What? How did Darth Vader know what I had for Christmas?
He felt your presence.
Yes.
Well played. Sorry. All right, listener comms. So this is from Katie Stubbs this week. She says, "Question time. A bit of a different one this week. If Star Wars characters got transported to Earth, then what would their jobs be?" So a breakdown. This is from Katie.
Brilliant.
I thought we'd stick with Han, Luke, and Leia, so that we don't wander off too far. But what would their jobs be? Han, Luke, and
Han
Leia.
Used car salesman.
Possibly, yeah. Or he's a bit cool, DJ.
Yeah, but I saw him at work actually in the cell block. I saw his DJ moves. Yeah, that could work. Why not a race car driver?
Luke would be a junior doctor.
Really?
Yeah. What, an ER?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Doogie Howser. Lukey Howser.
Hang on a minute.
No, I can see Luke as a refuse collector or a bin man as well.
Oh, no.
Got to live the dream, eh?
No.
obviously, great respect to all our refuse collectors.
He's not short of doing a bit of hard work. He's down to earth.
If he's going to do anything, he'd be a farmer.
He's got a blue boiler suit on and filthy legs where he wipes his greasy fingers. He's a mechanic.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see him as a mechanic at all.
What about just a hoodie-wearing oik?
Did you say Han, Paul?
No, we're talking about Luke.
Oh, Luke.
Right. He's just a hoodie wearing oik that would hang around on the corner of the streets, intimidating old ladies and droids.
Yeah, with a hoodie.
Yeah, with a little hoodie. That's right.
What about
and one glove?
Pole dancer.
Oh no! Oh, why?
No, see, I didn't think about the See, I can't really think of her in the gold bikini anymore. It's just wrong.
Check out.
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
No. She would. She's always going to be royalty, right? So she'd come here, she'd be a princess.
No, I could see
her marrying one of the British royal family, like squeezing her way in, and then a bit like Meghan, although that is lovely. I'm not blaming
She
it
would be a gay Church of England priest.
Oh,
yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good way to go, isn't it? What a waste. What a waste, though.
Yeah.
No, okay.
But Han, I think we'll go with the race car driver.
Yeah,
he could be a race car driver. Yeah,
a race car driver.
Like, no, but NASCAR the, thing going on there, isn't
the
there?
The NASCAR, yeah, one of the NASCAR ones. Not Luke would be. One.
Luke's a hoodie wearing oik.
Luke could be a bit Top Gun-ish.
Oh, no, he's not cool enough.
All right, what about if he flies a micro light out of a local airport? Just gives people little tours of the local area.
They're not much bigger
Air traffic controller for Luke.
Yeah, doing the crushy thing on people just as they're coming into land.
Oh, were they going to have force powers?
Why not? It's them.
Oh, you're opening this right up. I thought they were... Oh, okay, it's them. Well, then there's no way either Luke or Leia would end up... Harm would be stuffed with the job he didn't want because he ain't got much to offer. But Luke and Leia are force sensitive, so they'd just be working in casinos, like
gamblers,
making the ball drop in number 33 all the time.
Yeah,
33 red again.
Well, Luke would be.
Well, Leia, they'd be fleecing everyone.
I know Luke would be. He'd be the guy that wears that bag on his, like, a, you know, tied around your waist, and he stands on the carousel Crumbly. Taking the money and looking cool as it goes round.
Paul.
And they're all tauntauns instead of horses.
You know, when you're trying to bounce the ping pong ball in the cup in the fair?
Yeah,
everyone would nearly get it in and then he'd just wave his hand and it would come out again.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be a good barrister.
If that's the way we're going,
bloody question.
Leia should be the girl that walks around in the auditorium with ice creams and a little thing hung around her neck, like a little tray hung around her neck, asking if you want a cornetto. Yeah.
There's nothing more annoying than someone asking a silly question and us all getting off on it. So let's move on.
All right. Thank you, Katie.
They would be on TV doing some kind of, you know, that who's that girl that does Lucy and all the apes and stuff?
She'd be twerking on one of those channels in the upper 800s that I would never look at.
They would be on TOWIE.
Yeah, the ones that Steve didn't add to his favourite channels, his favourite channel selection.
Yeah.
You know, it's only when you press down instead of up and you go from BBC One and then all of a sudden you're in a whole realm of stuff that you didn't want to be in.
Or Han would be a Somali pirate, Luke would just be a good old farm boy, and Leia, as you said, would be a princess.
That's a nice way to wrap that one up, Paul. Tastefully done.
Yeah,
Somali pirate's not particularly nice, is it? Let's be honest.
Well, he could be some other kind of smuggler, perhaps on the Channel Tunnel. Right, let's move on. Thank you for that, Katie. That was a lot of fun. Would someone like to take this question from Stephen Howard this week?
To do it, Paul? From Stephen Howard at Roku Depot. Just wanted to chime in and correct Stephen's misconception that the world hates The Force Awakens. Oh, I didn't pick this because of this. I wish I hadn't had it now. I'm a big fan of the movie and would rank it in the top three when it comes to Star Wars. What?
Oh.
I took a lot of people to go see the movie when it came out, and everyone enjoyed it. I've only met one person who didn't like the film in the whole wide world, and I've asked all 7 billion. So in my circle of acquaintances, all 7 billion of them, you would be in the minority if you didn't like it. Just to keep the discussion going and spin things in a new direction, who do you think will get the most laughs in The Last Jedi? There was quite a bit of humour in The Force Awakens, and with the pork scene, I'm sure Ryan Johnson is going to sneak some in. Stephen, or Stefan, I'm going to call him, because he didn't put my N on.
And you and your N.
I can't believe that he's only met one person that didn't like it. He obviously only knows one person, and that's a mirror.
No, he knows 3 people, and one of the 3 doesn't like the film.
Well, 3 here, and 2 of them didn't like it.
Well, Mark doesn't mind them. I'm not keen. Rob loves them, so you're only only 30% of the people you know, and
there's a lot of math in here, Paul. Yeah,
there is. And I'm also trying to.
I mean, I didn't mean
you've got
to
no other friends
anyone.
Except ours that put up with you on a Thursday afternoon.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to offend anyone with my personal view of the movie.
The Last
it was
Jedi
a stinking
BB-8
barrel
again.
Of monkey. What?
BB-8 will get the laughs in The Last Jedi.
Really? I think the Porg.
I think the Porg.
Well, I don't know. I think you might find they're a bit more serious than you thought. But to be honest, if it is just the Porgs, that's a cheap, kiddie Ewok laugh, and that's really obviously upset me already.
I think there's going to be a scene, and a really awkward scene, where the music cuts out, and there might even be one of those fade-in things with a circle getting smaller or bigger, and you cut to the Porg getting it on with BB-8 or trying to. And BB-8's like,
Chewie. He's got his leg.
There was on the Star Wars YouTube channel, they had these short films called Blips, and one of them was the Porgs chasing BB-8 and then taking his head off.
Cool. So
they might be a little bit more edgy than we'd expected. They run away with his head.
I don't think that's funny.
I think I think the Porgs are going to do the lion's share of the comedy work in this movie because I think they're going to be breaking the tension. I think this is going to be quite a tense movie and there's probably not going to be a lot of laughs.
I think Kylo might have a few jokes.
He doesn't look like the sort of person who will be cracking anti-jokes to me.
So I had to tell him.
I think there's probably something to what you're saying, Paul, that BB-8 will get a lot of the smiles, like the light, the thumbs up with the lighter appendage he did, didn't he? The welding torch thing. I think there'd be some of that, but most of the laughs, I think, were going to be the Porgs, and that's going to break a lot of the tension in this movie.
Tension.
Steve, do you expect someone else to come out?
I don't want any laughs.
It might be Chewbacca's
want...
relationship with the Porgs as well.
Yeah. I think there's a bit
that
of that.
Might
yeah.
be. I don't want laughs. I want we've had the silliness and we've had the repetition of A New Hope in Episode 7, and it all took it taking you out of the film and making you think, oh, what are they trying to do here? This isn't working. Blah blah blah. Regardless of what Stephen thinks, although I do respect his opinion, I don't want laughs. I want that feeling in Empire when it's all getting a little bit dark and a little bit serious, like because if this is a real galaxy that occurred a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, then it wouldn't have all been laughs and jokes, would it? No. It would have all gone to SH1 Tango from time to time.
GPO was in pieces, but he still threw out a couple of funnies.
Yeah.
You know, the Ugnaughts playing basketball with him.
Yeah, that's the role Chewie I see the Porgs having, yeah.
That kind of thing. So that's what I meant. I think Chewie's interaction with these things might be...
Yeah, that frustration...
I do not want to see Ewok type things off. Where they've got a bow lass and it hits them in the face and everyone's roaring with laughter and I'm like, I think I might throw up.
Yeah, I don't expect that. I do think there'll be some interplay between Chewie and the Porgs. I mean, there's a kid's book called that, Interplay. There's a book coming out called Chewie and the Porgs.
You know, in Episode 7, the seventh best Star Wars film, the bit with BB-8 where he's looking at the wrench and that one, and then looks down
yes.
at it and says,
yeah,
that I love.
That's really funny.
It's incidental, but works really well, and it's not a deliberate joke. I don't want anti jokes.
It's charming. Yeah, I think there'll be plenty of that stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
good question.
They've said it.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen, and good point, well made as well. That our Stephen is wrong about The Force Awakens, and he needs to go away and rethink his life.
And Paul.
If the breakdown of this had been what will get the laughs, we would have just said Hawk straight away. But it's who.
Yeah.
Unless one of them's got a name.
May the force be with you.
Peter Paul. Pepper. I mean, that was him. You just heard a quote Pepper. From him. May the force be with you.
I want a Pepper Paul.
May the force be with you.
Porg. All right. Lee, got a question from Ads. Yes, thank you, Stephen. And thank you for the review this week. Also, brilliant. The Roku Deeper review podcast every week. And he gives us a sterling one this week.
I still love you.
Paul, do you want to take the question from
Absolutely.
Ads?
From Ads. Hello, sir. Hey, Mark. You take this one, Mark. Just heard the daily, and I believe you wanted some questions. Question mark. Here's one for tonight's show, if needed. With those scenes in The Force Awakens and what we know now following this, what relationship, if any, did Poe and Kylo have growing up? If you don't think they had one, then we have the writers, as Kyle and Corey felt when I asked them, missing a trick, not establishing the rivalry between them, whether that's for Leia's affection or perhaps piloting skills or indeed both. Did Ben Solo, also known as Kylo Ren, and Poe Dameron have a relationship before the events of The Force Awakens? They looked like strangers when he was interrogating him in the opening few scenes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
You know, I talk first, you talk first, you talk first, I talk first.
Yeah. I'm
not entirely sure there was any familiarity then, but thing is, the familiarity from Kylo is going to be with Luke. I think that's where they're going to be basing it on a past relationship with Poe. Poe's also, I think, fighting a different battle in the film, and I don't even know how much interaction those guys are going to get. But I don't
is
know.
Is there anything in the trailer, Paul? That
it could be kind of cool.
Because I haven't seen the trailer.
I don't think we've seen anything with those two. Okay.
So I wonder where this question's coming from. Is there canon or anything?
There is some canon, yeah. There's
really?
Yeah, Poe's parents were involved with the rebellion, and Poe was born just a couple of years before the Battle of Endor. He was born on Yavin 4. It was about two at the time the Empire fell.
Is that the orange planet in the distance?
That's the Yavin 4 is the moon that orbits that planet, right? But
okay, so it's the orange planet's moon that you can see next to Star Destroyer at some point.
In
is that right?
In A New Hope,
Return of the Jedi.
Yavin 4 is where the rebel base is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Yavin 4 is from A New Hope, and that's where he was born.
Oh yes.
Oh, really?
Sorry, yeah. At the end with the structures. Yes.
And I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
I believe I'm right in saying that, and he. Would have been two at the Battle of Endor, or he wouldn't have been at the Battle of Endor, but his parents certainly were.
God, they do start early.
They had a connection with Luke. There's something in the story about a force tree that Luke gave one of the force trees to his parents. So he was definitely around Leia and Luke in his childhood. So I think it's reasonable to expect that Ben and Poe had a connection as children, because Ben came along just a couple of years after. They're about the same age.
Do they not have PlayStations in this universe?
Not that, like, I know of.
None of the kids are doing anything in a place where technology is rife. That would get rid of all this rebellion.
They're flying skyhoppers and bullseye and wombats.
Or whatever they're called.
Don't they? They're like, look at what Luke was doing.
They're not much bigger than 10 metres.
But this whole question, I think, is predicated on, I'm going to talk over you, Steve, is predicated on the relationship between Ben Solo and Poe Dameron.
Not PlayStations.
Not necessarily. I don't know if Poe knows that Kylo Ren is Ben Solo. So I'm not sure if he realises that. If he did know Ben Solo, I'm not sure if he realises that's who he was dealing with that day.
The voice.
Yeah, I can't understand you with all the apparatus. That's so it is kind of interesting. I don't know what clearly they haven't done anything with it in expanded storytelling yet, or we wouldn't be getting this question. But it might be interesting if they did sort of expand on that, because I think where this story's going in The Force Awakens, in The Last Jedi, is Leia will have a lot more faith in Poe and what he can do for the Resistance than she'd ever had in her son. And of course, now her son is a major issue for her.
So Poe
might become Leia's surrogate son in a way, and she might entrust the future of her Resistance to him. So this is a fascinating question. It's something I think is yet to be explored. But I do like the idea that Poe and Ben knew each other. But I don't need to think that Poe knew that that's who he was dealing with that day, because I didn't get that impression. And you guys didn't get the impression they knew each other.
Not remotely, I'm afraid, no.
Not in the last film. But then it might be a nice misdirection.
Yeah, I mean, for Ben, I would imagine Kylo Ren would relish the fact that he knew who he was dealing with and Poe didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
It would put him in a position of power, wouldn't it?
Definitely. Maybe there's room for that in Ep 8.
Yes, maybe there's room to expand on that. Although, from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, Poe's story will be very much tied to Leia's, and that will be very much tied to the Resistance.
Yeah, he's a soldier.
Yeah.
Mm. He's a soldier. Kylo's a knight. He's on the wrong side of light, but he's a knight.
And he's got something to do, isn't he?
He's got family issues as well.
Finding Luke, yeah. He's got a lot of other stuff drawing his
Luke's
attention.
Luke's family too, at the end of the day, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool stuff.
Interesting.
So watch this space, Ads. I think they're probably going to build on that, I think, a little bit. But right now, I'm not sure there's an awful lot going on there, really.
I don't think there's bad blood. I don't think it's old blood.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Right, look at that. We're through listener comms. We're 31 minutes into the episode, and we're through listener comms. So we're going to take our break now. And then we've got plenty of time to spend talking about these few pieces of Star Wars news. But like I said, this week's show, I think, is going to be a little bit shorter.
Amazing.
It's going to be amazing, I hope, but it's certainly going to be shorter. Succinct is the word. Something
did you
we
see,
aren't.
I mean, adding to relationships, did you see what I just sent you?
Yes, I did, yeah.
That's been a bit of a whisper that's been going around in a couple of... I mean, I've sent you the first one at the top of the tree, but I've seen that in a few different sources.
Well, Star Trek does. Star Trek's got...
Yeah, so for context, this is people who have wanted the relationship between Poe and Finn, and this has been on the cards since The Force Awakens, isn't it? People have wanted this ever since.
I'm taking it in that universe, sorry, Mark, 11% of the population would be gay, because that's how evolution works.
So, I have absolutely no problem with it whatsoever. I do think that if they're going to do something like that in Star Wars, it's going to be very distracting for young audience members and particularly the parents as they try to explain exactly what's going on.
Yeah, but they're not going to be kissing. It will just be subtle, won't it? They'll be clever about it.
But if they're going to do that, then that's already started then, with the way that the chemistry between those two in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, they had the bromance in the TIE Fighter.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
You know what? I bet those actors would love that. Because that's a challenge then, isn't it? That's a real, that, you know, to play that part, if you're a straight actor, that is probably one of the biggest challenges you'll get. You know?
How does it feel, Steve, when you do it just as a civilian?
I feel a bit subdued, but that's why I don't have the camera on, because if I can see you guys, then I'm off my game, because I'm like, oh, hello. But all the time that I'm thinking of you as women, then it's fine. But the moment I start thinking of you as men, I'm like,
I'm so confused.
You know, you've sunk your torpedo down my weakness porthole thing. That went
and
wrong.
It's time for the break.
Before, we're on the break already.
Before Steve loses his way, let's get to a break.
And his thingy.
Yeah, we'll be right back. If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, then head to patreon.com/TalkStarWars and become a patron. Your support will help us as we expand our programming to include further shows, and in return, you'll get access to an exclusive VIP Facebook group, a monthly prize draw, weekly Facebook live sessions, priority release podcasts, an exclusive daily podcast, and a whole lot more. Head to patreon.com/TalkStarWars today and become a TSW patron. And we're back. That was our Patreon promo spot. So head over there and join our ever-expanding little crew of Star Wars fans. It's a load of fun in those social networks. Right, we're going to jump straight into... tell you, this is going to be a short show this week. We're going to jump straight into some Star Wars news now. It's mostly Last Jedi. So potential spoilers, Leia head. Steve, you'll be fine.
Leia head.
Yeah, hey. Leia head, yeah. So some story / character
Luke
elements.
Spoilers coming.
Oh, here we go. Some story / character elements have snuck out on a Japanese Star Wars The Last Jedi site. This has all been translated,
really?
Yeah. All of this stuff was translated.
Is it English?
Oh, dear. I'm not sure you can say that.
That's a genuine term, isn't it? That's what they say. It was badly translated. It's the English.
Okay. I feel
there's a line here. That
I feel uncomfortable with that, so I'm going to leave that with you. all right. So here are some of these pieces. So we can do each character and then we can kick it around, see what we think. So this is about Rey.
You have to say it in an accent.
No. Rey, now aware of her awakening power in the Force, travels to the hidden world of Octo. She is looking for Luke Skywalker, who is the last Jedi Master in the galaxy and the last hope for the Resistance. Rey was hoping to find a legendary hero. She instead found a man who disagrees with her expectations.
Enemy hero.
So what do we make of that? I love that he's the last hope for the Resistance, because he was once the new hope, and I like that sort of bookending for that character.
You think he was the new hope?
I think he was a New Hope, yeah, in yeah. episode four.
I just thought the situation was a New Hope. It's a New Hope for the Rebellion and for all. I just thought it was a New Hope generally.
Or maybe anyway, a New Hope because they blew up the Death Star.
That's why at the end of Rogue One, she says Hope, because we've got a New Hope.
Yeah, but it does get referenced in the first episode of Star Wars Rebels. Luke hints, Obi-Wan is talking about a New Hope rising, and it's kind of hinting that it's Luke. It's always been my read. But you can be as wrong as you like. You're an adult. So what do we think about this of Rey finding a legendary hero?
We discussed their interactions and so on and so forth, haven't we? And I think we're already in agreement that this is actually what we kind of anticipated anyway.
But that she was going to go expecting one thing, get something else.
We were playing the, you know, guess the opening line thing, and I said, you know, he's going to say something like, "I have no use for that, get off my land," kind of thing.
Yeah, there's nothing new there, is there, really?
No. Daisy set it up too, didn't she?
Disagreeing with expectations, that's the thing.
Mm.
I hope he's a real cantankerous old monkey, actually.
I think he probably will be. We've got some lines of dialogue later as well that have been lifted from the toys that speak when you put them near the Force Link technology, so... You can. We're going to get a little bit of an insight into some of the things that Luke says, and I think some of that might pay into their first moments together on screen.
Cool.
But yeah, I think Daisy pretty much set this up for us at Celebration. That you have to be careful not to meet your heroes because they will disappoint. So yeah, that's cool. Right, moving on to Finn. So Finn, a former operative of the First Order, previously dedicated himself to the cause of fighting the Resistance, continues the fight. Now he's at a crossroads over his role in the war. What do we make of that?
Well,
it'd be kind of interesting if you can't entirely take the stormtrooper out of the guy.
Right.
And I wonder if a little bit of doubt creeps in. But, I mean, we've seen a smidging of him fighting Phasma. Oops. Sorry,
yes. Steve.
It's all right. I've completely... didn't see that. I'd scrolled up and I didn't see Finn, and I still thought we were talking about Luke. I thought we were talking about Grey Jedi. Yeah. But
so I'm wondering if that'd be quite interesting if there was a smidge of a loyalty problem, you know, conflict of interest, so on.
I think
a lightsaber kind of crossroads.
What other kind of crossroads could he approach?
Well, I think he might be, you know, when we first meet him in The Force Awakens, he's just desperately trying to escape the First Order. He's not really interested.
He's doubting his conscience, isn't he?
He's gotten caught up with the Resistance. And I'm sure that when he wakes up, he thinks, I just need to run again. I don't think he's going to wake up and think, right, now do we get back into the fight? Because he was doing what he had to do to defend himself and to defend Rey at the end of The Force Awakens. He wasn't the Resistance fight, really. He was looking to get to Starkiller to save Rey. That was it. And then he wanted just to go. So I think he's probably woken up in this movie and thinks, I still need to leave. But then the way I've been reading everything surrounding the Rose character is I think she starts to view him as a hero and he starts to see himself through her eyes and then rises to that level. If she views him as a hero, he steps up to become the hero and do his part for the Resistance. But that I think is what his crossroads is. He doesn't necessarily want to fight their fight, but he can't help but see himself in that light.
He's fighting his own fight initially, isn't he?
You what, Steve?
He's had a huge injury, isn't he?
Yes.
Spine cut out, didn't he?
Yeah. This is what kind of wound me up about Seven. They do exactly the same move on him, and Kylo almost rips him in half. Rey does it on Kylo, and he gets a little scratch on his face.
It's not the same move.
I would love to have seen him wearing a mask down one side because he's got literally a cavern cut out and his eye gone. And do you know what I mean? Cool.
There's some stuff in that trailer that you need to see then, I think, Steve, about Kylo's scar. But
I'm not watching the trailer.
No, we won't get into that. All right, let's talk about Poe.
Thank you for leading me down that dark path.
Yes.
I'm always on the light side.
Now that the conflict between the First Order and the Resistance has escalated into total war, Poe is a shining is shining as a leader of the Courageous Flying Battalion. But while he is brave and a skilled pilot, both the First Order and the Resistance alike are starting to fear his dedication to the war effort.
Mm,
so that last line is interesting. Really intriguing, isn't it? What are we reading into that?
Well, I'm wondering,
he's in love with Finn, and Finn doesn't want... Finn's at the crossroads. He's in love with Finn, and therefore he's split.
No, it's Laura Dern's character wants a diplomatic solution to these situations, and he's like, no way, let's just kick butt.
Spot on. I think that's right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think he wants to... I think he knows that there isn't a diplomatic resolution to this situation. I think he wants to fight.
She's playing it,
and she's willing to dial back their investment and meet the First Order halfway, perhaps.
Paul has his cool shades on. He is right. And also that lends itself to what we said last week about Leia being incarceration, because she just wants to get down to it, and Laura Dern is trying to use some sort of political motive to get a resolution that doesn't really work when you're dealing with the dark side.
Yes. Yeah. It would probably put them in a compromised position. If she thinks they can just turn up and say, we're sorry, we're going to lay down our weapons, and she's expecting to be given some sort of clemency, that's not a thing. And
that's the problem. They get chased by a T-Rex. They think they know bleeding everything, don't they?
They. Remember, she was just a botanist.
As in the prey of T-Rexes. Oh, sorry. They. The royal they.
All right, moving on to Kylo Ren. I agree with you wholly and completely on that one, though, Paul. Kylo Ren, humiliated by his defeat at Rey's hands, Kylo Ren redoubles his efforts to crush the Resistance. However, although his powers in the dark side continue to increase, it is still not enough to impress his shadowy mentor, First Order Supreme Leader Snoke.
So is there room for him to start regretting killing his dad? And actually, the misdirection is that he turns good.
I think... basically, he's given another situation where he doesn't entirely go through with what he's supposed to do. I.e., he's in a situation where he can end Leia, and that's considered a failure.
Yep, spot on. Absolutely, completely agree with you. That's something that we, Steve, cover your ears. We get a glimpse of some of that stuff in the trailer, and I think you're right. I think he's Snoke. I think he's pushing him into that course of action. And when he says, when he fails and goes back, I think that's when we get Snoke's line of dialogue in the trailer.
What are you doing back here?
Yeah.
I'm back.
I haven't finished yet.
The whole thing from Kylo about kill your past, let it die and become what you need to become, that I think is Snoke's mantra to him. But, and that's what's led to the death of Han Solo, is that you must destroy Ben Solo and every connection to Ben Solo, and then you can become this powerful dark side user. That's what's inside you. But failure to do it is the compassion that Anakin had that brought down the Sith. So I think that's what Snoke's going to be really disappointed with, that there's too much compassion in Ben and it's pulling him back to the light all the time. So, yeah, absolutely. I think the failed attempt on that person's life disappoints Snoke extremely. That's going to be interesting to watch.
What a wuss.
He's disappointed his pimp.
All right, let's talk about Jedi Master Luke Skywalker. So after his attempt to rebuild the Jedi Order was ruined, Luke Skywalker disappeared from the galaxy in search of answers, leading him to the planet Octo. Though he seems intent to live out a modest lifestyle away from the war, the Resistance needs the hero who defeated Darth Vader to stand a chance against the First Order. So that opening sentence is fascinating to me.
I'm just wondering if that's part of the crawl.
I wonder. Yeah, I mean, there will be... The crawl, because we're picking up immediately after The Force Awakens, the crawl is going to be quite succinct, I think, isn't it? It'll be something along the lines of striking back after their defeat at Starkiller Base. The First Order have launched an assault on Dakar and driven the Resistance from their base, and then possibly move over to this. Meanwhile, Luke Skywalker's having a picnic with Rey, talking about how cranky Scotch Yoda eggs. Used to be. Scotch eggs, making him smell like gas. But this, what I did take from this that I thought was quite interesting was that after his attempt to rebuild the Order was ruined, Luke disappeared from the galaxy. I thought Luke went off in search of answers before he built the new Jedi Order, and that's why he built the Jedi Order. I didn't expect it to go the other way.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I thought it was kind of en route, actually.
How do you mean, Paul?
Well, sort of in his pilgrimage, it was something that happened during the pilgrimage, and he get running after the situation as well. So,
yeah, I thought the Jedi Order grew out of his pilgrimage.
He went to look for answers because he was so disenfranchised. Disenfranchised is a good word, with the whole Jedi good bad thing. After again, a load of basically kids got killed by an evil force, because they would have been young, not younglings, but very young, wouldn't they? And it's like, yeah, it's a bit like what we've got going on with ISIS, and I mean, there's a lot of synergy there, isn't there? If that's the right word, because how do you reason with it? I mean, like, in the end, you just kind of think it's all bad. All religion is bad. Do you know what I mean? I
can
see why people think that. You know what I mean? Because
I think really, you're onto they're all.
Yeah. And then maybe he's just kind of given up on the whole thing and not just one side of it anymore.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about Luke's looming large in the background on these posters, like the villains loom large in Star Wars posters, and he's looming large on both the light side and the dark side as this figure overseeing all. I think that's a hint to what you've just been saying, Steve. I think Luke, and I also think that Snoke, have found a way to unify both sides of the Force. So they Luke's able to use both light and dark side and retain his own identity, his own agenda. I think Snoke can do the same. So when it comes to being able to reconcile that, when you hold it up against the Jedi Order, it doesn't make sense anymore. The Jedi Order doesn't make sense, because half of what Luke's using in practice, the Jedi Order would never have entertained.
Maybe it's Luke and Snoke that are getting it on. Get it on.
Oh, for goodness sake.
What would, this is the question to the audience, if Luke and Snoke are the gay couple that we all want, what would their first love music, background music be when they're just about to kiss? What song would it be?
Yeah, feel free to send that one directly to Steve.
No, it's a serious...
No, that's good. Absolutely brilliant. You're completely on point. I can tell that you've been studying your
I know what it would be. I've got it. It's going to be the Wonderful World song. But it will be I See Forces of Dark.
Oh, goodness me. All right, let's move on.
I've got the whole words going on.
What time are you going to bed, Steve?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm starting to fade.
Well, you're not. You're not, because you're...
fight it.
You're burning up podcast time with silly questions. All right, General Leia. So Leia Organa, whose son betrayed her and fell to the dark side, is leading the struggling resistance fleet. General Leia takes advantage of her decades of experience in order to halt the First Order's advances. Not a lot there.
It doesn't tell you anything.
Really not a lot there at all, is it?
No.
It just tells us that we know she's a general and she's trying to fight a battle.
Yeah,
there's nothing there. I could have written that.
Yeah, she's probably, I'd probably argue against that one, but she's probably, it's setting the stage for her being more capable at the helm of this resistance than Amelyn Holdo.
Yes.
All right, Supreme Leader Snoke. So Snoke, the shadowy leader of the First Order, finally emerges from the shadows to lead the First Order to victory after the destruction of Starkiller Base. So if you want a job done, do it yourself. And there's not a lot there either.
Nothing
is
there
really?
Either. I mean, nothing. Some people might take the words "lead the First Order to victory" as in, "Oh my God, they already won something." Yeah. No, he's trying to lead them.
Yeah, well,
he's urged to lead them. Yes,
they've already kind of had one. Their victory and their defeat went hand in hand, didn't it, in The Force Awakens, because they destroyed Hosnian Prime, so they've decentralized the government for a start. And if they all they lost in the battle was their pimped out planet with the big gun on it, so They didn't
this
really
is where
lose
the,
a lot.
The whole thing for me, it doesn't kind of tie in a nice, neat bow, because lead the First Order to victory. The First Order have been winning for the last 30 years. Have you seen their shit? They built a fake planet that absorbs an entire sun, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, but look at...
They've blown up six planets. They've probably won 100 wars.
But look at Palpatine. Look at Palpatine. He wasn't going to rest until he'd crushed the rebellion, right? That was the last thing he needed to do.
He
dissolved the Imperial Senate. He just needed to get rid of the rebellion. Now, for Snoke, he's got to get rid of the resistance, and he needs to get rid of Luke.
I guess.
Because
it's a ragtag fugitive fleet.
It's not Battlestar.
It's not Battlestar Galactica.
But because it is a ragtag fugitive fleet, that they never can get them all, and that's what that probably really annoys them.
Yeah.
They're little ferrets.
Unless they
weeding out.
When they touch down on Crait, they'll be in one place. I still think that there's been some leaks about from toy packaging that suggest that Finn and Rose, their mission is going to be to disable some technology the First Order have in order to allow the Resistance to escape undetected to set up their new base. And I think that's going to fail, and that's what leads to the battle on Crait, which I think will be a third act set piece, but we'll see. So finally, Maz Kanata. After Maz loses her, or after Maz lost her castle, she has been forced to take a more active role and take advantage of her ties to the criminal underworld. She will provide crucial assistance to the Resistance in their fight against the First Order, making use of every connection she has.
Yeah, bad guys being good guys. That could be fun.
Yeah.
I love Maz Kanata. She's the best thing in Star Wars 7.
But this sounds to me, great eyes, great glasses. This sounds to me like I think this is pretty clear that she hooks Finn and Rose up with DJ, the character played by Benicio Del Toro. And he will be able to get them what they need, which could be access, or could the what they need to be able to infiltrate the Supremacy, which is Snoke's ship.
The big one.
The big
kahuna.
Looks like a bomber, doesn't it? It's the big, like a stealth bomber.
Is it the flat one?
Yes, big flat thing. So it's... That's kind of where they end up, and I suspect that's what draws Rey out, much like Luke abandoning his train. I think that's what draws Rey out, so that she will go and try and help them.
This is interesting, because they said, veering off in different directions. I don't think anyone's considered using bad guys as good guys before, so that could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Frank agrees.
It's a bit like, do you remember when they first started talking about Rogue One and we were hearing it was all bounty hunters stealing the plans, and what it ended up being was like this little scruffy team of sort of hard nut rebel soldiers, but they weren't they're not the cultivated rebels like Mon Mothma and Leia. They're not the people that we know, the more regal members. They were almost bad guys doing good, weren't they? But they were I've just stolen the 501st tagline, but they were almost that. But I think this is going to be one step closer, because DJ's, the whole thing with DJ, the character played by Benicio Del Toro, is on his hat is a little badge that says "Don't Join," and that's where they get the DJ moniker from, because he won't join either side.
Oh, so he's like Nightshade in Constantine.
Yeah. And a little bit like Boba Fett as well. Kind of like...
Which one's Nightshade? Is that the woman one? Or no, that's... No. That's, I'm thinking of the Angel. I love that movie, Paul. Which one's Nightshade?
Yeah, oh, I'm not the, actually...
The black talk, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I like that film.
I'm looking for a picture of the hat. Mark, I want to see the hat. Where's the hat?
What the DJ wears. You should be able to find it. There is a Funko Pop out there of DJ, which had the Ourobesh badge on it, so you can read it. Well, you have to read the translation of it. But we had it on the show notes probably a month, maybe 6 weeks ago. But it's a pretty interesting spin on that character, on the Boba Fett archetype, because I always think Boba Fett was seen as a bad guy, even though he was one of those characters that will work for the highest bidder. And with this character played by Benicio Del Toro, I think he's very much in the middle.
He was a god.
He is, definitely. But I think the character is very much in the middle and will not get drawn in to fight for the Resistance, will not get drawn in to fight for the First Order.
But he'll do it for the money.
He'll do it for the money.
Yeah, but so did Han initially.
Indeed, yeah. And maybe Maz, maybe he owes Maz, or maybe he ends up owing Finn and Rose a debt through something that happens in The Last Jedi. Like if they boost him out of prison or something, he might owe them something. So that would be kind of interesting to see where that's going to go. But I like the fact that Maz now could fulfill that story element where she will connect player A to player B and move the story along, you know?
His name is Dimon Hounsou, I think, Paul.
Dimon Hounsou.
Dimon Hounsou, probably, yes. Dimon
Hounsou, yeah. Midnight,
yes.
Yeah.
Midnight,
amazing,
sorry.
Amazing actor.
He's a great guy, yeah. I like him a lot. Okay, we've also, from a similar site, this is the official, Lucasfilm's official, The Last Jedi theatrical website. This story synopsis was on there the other day when I stumbled across the site. Yeah, this story synopsis was on there. So it says, in Lucasfilm's Star Wars The Last Jedi, the Skywalker saga continues as the heroes of The Force Awakens join the galactic legends in an epic adventure that unlocks age-old mysteries of the Force and shocking revelations of the past. Star Wars Last Jedi opens in theatres in the US on December 15th, 2017. So, again, a couple of lines there. Unlocks age-old mysteries of the Force and shocking revelations of the past. So what do you guys read into that?
No idea.
Age-old mysteries of the Force is going to be the whole grey. There is no light and dark.
I like that. I like the way you're thinking, yeah.
That there's a million of grey areas between. And shocking revelations of the past. Is that going to be to do with Snoke, do you think, and who Snoke is and his history?
Possibly. I think these two elements might actually be one. Now, I did read or stumbled across a fan prediction about who Snoke is. And I know people find the discussion around who Snoke is to be quite tedious. And I agree. It's something that's gone on too long. But this is something I hadn't heard before, and it's something I hadn't personally considered before. This fan theory was that when the Force created Anakin, it also created Snoke. And the Snoke creation was more of a dark side leaning, and the Anakin creation was more, his destiny was to bring balance for the light side and whatever.
Yin and yang.
Yes. So he's the other side of that dynamic. There's also a theory floating around that Plagueis might have tried to create life first with Snoke, and it went drastically wrong. And then Anakin was created. That was more of a success. But Snoke went off and sort of hid in the unknown region until things quietened down, the Empire disappeared, and then he could come back and use his powers to sort of challenge for leadership. So it's also kind of a nice idea that he was a failed attempt to create what Anakin would go on to be successful at. I like those two things. So that could be, I mean, if we're unlocking age-old mysteries of the Force and it's about the Force generating these figures randomly for whatever purpose, and Snoke was one, and then Anakin was one, and Luke thought Kylo was one, or Ben Solo was one, and maybe now Rey is a new person that's been created by the Force. That could be fascinating.
Well, yeah. Is there any room? I just had a kind of weird, you're going to rip it apart. What are the chances that Luke, feeling disgruntled and disenfranchised and just depressed about the whole Force thing, when that Kylo wasn't the only one in the temple that started going bad, that Luke killed them all?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, that would certainly qualify as shocking revelations of the past, wouldn't it?
Because there's us all thinking it was Kylo. Kylo could have been defending his peers, and it was Luke that decided they all needed basically taken out because it wasn't going the way that they thought it would go.
There's something that was rumoured some time ago that we're going to touch on in a minute when we look at some of these images from the behind-the-scenes video that came out yesterday. But it was talk about Luke destroying one of those little beehive huts from inside, blowing the rocks out when he loses his temper with Rey.
Really?
Yeah. It's like he loses control of things and he destroys one of these things, blows it apart from the inside out. And so if that proves to be true, and I think there's evidence of it in what we've in the footage we've seen so far, if that proves to be true, then maybe that's the thing. Maybe Luke is unstable, not mentally unstable, not on the verge of being a bad guy, but because he's trying to use both light and the dark side, perhaps he can't control it all the time. And sometimes it might get the better of him. Now, if he did destroy the school because he was starting to use dark side abilities, that would be the shocking revelation from the past, wouldn't it? If Kylo turns up and says, I never did anything.
Mm.
You know, he was tampering in this stuff and it all went pear-shaped and he destroyed everything.
And now, maybe Rey finds out in her training, she finds out actually that it was Luke that did it.
Yeah, and if he tries to hide that from Rey and she comes across it in another way, perhaps Kylo tells her, or perhaps she finds a record of it, maybe written in one of Luke's books, or if she connects with Luke through a Force vision, you know, like Kylo's always reading minds and stuff. If she finds that secret out that he's kept from her, that would explain why there's some friction between the two of them.
And it would certainly account for why he thinks it's time for the Jedi to end.
Yeah, no.
Because he's lost all faith in himself as well.
I don't personally subscribe to that theory. I don't think that you can push Luke into that area and get away with it. I would be open to Luke expanding his knowledge of the Force to include the dark side and finding a way to manage it and control it. I would be okay with that. But if he tried to do something, lost control of it and led to the death of a bunch of kids, not so much. It frames Luke in a weird way for me.
Well, maybe that's why he wasn't happy about it when he read the original treatment.
That's true. That's true also. I think narratively we've kind of, Han Solo has pointed the finger at Ben, hasn't he? Luke built the school and then one kid pulled it down. One kid tore it down. But that doesn't mean he was right, does it? It could be that he'd been lied to as well. Yeah, it certainly qualifies as shocking revelations. It would be, I mean, that's why you'd have Luke looming large in the back of all these things, wouldn't you? Seen as the villain by both sides. It does, a lot of that makes sense. Not something I want to see, but then maybe that's why Mark had a problem with it, eh?
Maybe.
So unlocks age-old mysteries of the Force.
Maybe Snoke was good. Maybe Snoke used to be more on the light side, or was in the middle like Luke's trying to be. But a lot of Snoke's Padawan were in that school, and that's why he needs to kill Luke, because he lost a lot of his people as well.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's less likely than the other option. I think that it's probably more likely that Snoke wanted to try and bring Luke over to him if he thought that they had shared interests in unifying the disciplines of light and dark. And then he found the right person in the form of Kylo to come across and work with him in that respect. And that's why he wants to destroy Luke, because Luke can get in the way, whereas Kylo is on board completely, isn't he? He's in. I definitely get the feeling that the characters, the legacy characters, have a connection to Snoke, a deeper connection to Snoke, in a story we haven't heard yet. But I'm not sure what form that's going to take, obviously. One of the many surprises that awaits us, I'm sure.
Definitely. Right,
did you guys see the behind-the-scenes reel that dropped yesterday?
I'm just watching it now.
What do you think?
You two talk amongst yourselves while I watch it.
Okay.
Well, to be honest, it was just a little narrative, really, by Ryan, wasn't it?
And, yeah, it's a wonderful look at him on set. It's mostly him, isn't it?
He's got a good way about him, actually.
Isn't he a lovely guy?
I kind of like the fact he's a 30, 40-year-old total geek. Yeah. He's got an element of Ron Howard about him. I don't want to patronise, condescend, for want of a better word, you know, belittle, but I do like... He looks eternally youthful, almost, in his approach, and so on. So, yeah, he's got something. He's got something. I hope that kind of youthfulness, imagination can appear on screen.
I think it will. I know what you mean about him. He has got this sort of youthful exuberance about him, this wide-eyed. He always strikes me as being really surprised that he's ended up at the heart of this thing. And I love that.
I don't think he takes anything for granted, does he?
No, there's so much humility with this man. And I've got to point everybody in the direction of a couple of episodes of the Slash Filmcast, because Ryan appeared on a couple of episodes of the Slash Filmcast years and years ago, pre-Looper, when he was just starting work on Looper, in fact. And he'd struck up quite a friendship with Dave, who runs the Slash Filmcast. And whenever he popped on there, like he'd pop on, he'd take a banjo on. He was just trolling them throughout the episode with this banjo. They would be chatting, and all of a sudden he'd just start playing the banjo in the background. He's so funny. He's so charming.
He's really normal, which helps.
Yeah, I just think there's too few people like him out there. And I'm not just like blowing smoke because it's Rian Johnson, director of Star Wars. It's Rian Johnson.
Well, that's the beauty of being a director, isn't it? You can still be normal and be famous and have all the life, whereas actors get drawn into what they look like, how they have to act.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're on the other side of the camera, yeah, it's not so important, is it? So what do you think of that, Steve? Did you watch that?
I'm still watching it now, yeah. It's just finishing. Some good bits in that.
Well, I've taken a couple of screen grabs, things that I think are probably worth taking a look at here. The first one, they're in the show notes. If you want to work and follow along with us, you can download the show notes from the description of the episode. But the first image is Rey with her staff. This is third act Rey, or Jedi Rey. So this is the Qui-Gon style haircut. Her wardrobe does change slightly throughout the movie. And she's using her staff rather than the lightsaber, which I thought was interesting, because by this point she should be more proficient with the lightsaber, so why is she going back to the staff?
Maybe is she not training here, though, or is this a scene?
No, this is a scene, I think. What I'm expecting this to be, Steve, there's an element of the trailer I'm going to discuss here, but I don't know if it necessarily qualifies as a major spoiler. But there's a line in the trailer that Luke speaks, and Luke is lying on the ground on his back in the rain, and he says, "This is not going to go the way you think." You know what I mean, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the other side of that exchange. Now, that shot in the trailer, you know, we were just talking about Luke exploding a beehive hut from inside. This is that moment.
Okay.
So in the trailer, if you look, I think you might need to alter the contrast slightly, but if you look at Luke, he's surrounded by the rubble of what's left of a beehive hut. And I think that's exploded, and then it's probably scared Rey enough to push her into action like this. And this is her attacking Luke, I think. And Luke looking up and warning her about, you know.
There is only one lightsaber, isn't there, between the two of them?
That we know of, yes.
So maybe she's managed to overcome Luke despite him having a lightsaber, and she's done it with a staff and the Force.
And I think that's probably because it's Luke and he wouldn't use a lightsaber against her. But I think this is in the rain. I think you can see some raindrops there. It certainly looks like Daisy is wet there. So I know there's a scene where she goes underwater, but this, I think, is wet from the rain rather than actually being submerged. But it's interesting to me to think, I'm coming at this from the position that we've heard Luke destroys the hut from inside. But what if it wasn't Luke, and what if it was Daisy that destroyed that? We've already seen some of Rey's power demonstrated. If she can't contain it and she destroys the hut, if she loses her temper, gets frustrated, and the result is this hut gets destroyed and Luke ends up on his back in the rain with her standing over him with the staff. But whatever, I think there's an element of some darkness in this scene, is there not?
Well, her face is interesting.
Now, what was the line you said he says again?
He says, "This is not going to go the way you think."
So she thinks she's going to become a Jedi and it's all going to be hunky-dory, but he knows from bitter experience that it's a hard path.
It could be anything.
It never ends up as you think?
It could be that. It could be anything. It could be, like, I'm going to go off and confront Snoke, or I'm going to go off and save Finn. And Luke's warning is, you know, where Yoda said you must stay and continue your training. And if you value what your friends hold dear, then you must honour them and let them die for it. This might be Luke's attempt to get her to stay put.
Yeah.
And not go off half-cocked.
And she's... Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she... This is the bit where she's found out that he may have been responsible for the all the people's deaths. She's going to rush off now to try and redeem Kylo. And he's trying to stop her from going. I don't know. I'm winging it now.
All right, let's move on to... Should we move on to the second image? This is Rey again. And this is the red backdrop.
What else is... What is that machine? Is that some kind of torture device?
It's a portal, isn't it? Looking out into space.
No, this is in Snoke's throne room. That's not a special effect, that red. This is part of Snoke's throne room.
Oh, is it?
And
machine.
Yeah, there is some torture machinery on board the ship.
We're aware of something going on in there, aren't we?
Yeah, there's something in that toy package that says, like, it was a torture chair. But what this calls back, what this calls to mind for me, this image, is Luke standing in front of a circular portal in Cloud City when he faces off against Vader. Tonally, it's similar sort of thing. Do you remember what I mean? And it ends up,
I do.
Vader smashes it with a bunch of stuff, and throws a bunch of crap at Luke, and it smashes, and Luke gets drawn out onto the catwalk, doesn't he? So tonally, this to me sort of looked like that moment being replicated here with Rey. And you can just see off to the right of the image, you can see one of the Praetorian Guard without his helmet on. So it kind of definitely indicates that this is Snoke's throne room. And this is right before that final moment in the trailer, which I won't go into details of because of Stephen, but everybody knows what I mean. This is planting Rey right in front of Snoke. And I think the last time we saw our hero in front of a round window, they were also facing off against a major antagonist. And that just, that thematically, just, I find that quite interesting.
Yeah, Luke does a cartwheely flippy thing through it, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then fortunately lands on that walk.
That gangway. Walkway, which is similar to the one that Han died on. Sorry.
Spoilers.
Not really dead.
Spoilers for the first week. The next two images aren't quite so heavy. But they are
quite
interesting.
Like the third one.
The third one is cool, isn't it?
It's good old-fashioned Star Wars.
It is. It's
it's a dirty wall behind them.
It's the Falcon wall.
Yeah.
And we've got R2 and 3PO together on the
Falcon.
They've
kind of become incidental, haven't they, R2 and 3PO? It's a shame,
I'm kind of hoping that's going to rewind in this film.
Yeah. This just... The image of these two droids together is quintessential Star Wars to me.
Big time, yes. Absolutely.
And so I'm looking forward to seeing some of that interplay, and I'm wondering why 3PO is on the Falcon. We know R2 was on the Falcon when they went to Octo. So what is 3PO doing on there? Has the Falcon made its way back to the Resistance?
Well, we know it's gone somewhere because... We've seen a shot.
Yep. We've seen it in action. We've seen Chewie also in the last behind-the-scenes reel. We've seen Chewie on board the Radis, which is Leia's ship. So we know that at some point they do go back and join, but at what point in the movie will it be with Rey in tow? Because we're getting closer and closer to sort of the classic look of Star Wars now, aren't we? It's awesome.
I think Luke's that with them.
Yeah, well, I've been wondering, you know, that shot, there's a shot in the trailer, Steve, which you've probably not been able to avoid, which is Chewie and a Porg. And the Porg is on the dashboard of the Millennium Falcon. But you don't see who's piloting the Falcon.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it might be Luke.
Blimey.
I mean, it could be anybody.
Yeah, they would have, if the Porg's there, it means they've left that Ugg too.
Yeah.
And so, taken a Porg with them.
Yeah.
It's more likely to be Rey, though, isn't it? Well, after she's had the hissy fit with Luke, she then doesn't do what he's telling her not to do.
Yeah.
And then goes off and tries to do a Luke in Empire.
Yes.
So do you think that she is going to save Leia, who actually at that point has been double-crossed, as we knew she would? She's in jail, and they plan to actually execute her. And she is, that's caused the whole fracas with Luke, and now she's going off to save him.
So you're
she's annoyed at Luke because how can you do that to your own sister kind of thing?
Oh, I like where you're coming from. And also, I like the idea that Leia's in jail. I'd heard that she was incapacitated, and I took that to mean injured. But it could also mean
I think she's been given up marching orders, point, and she's with Leia's Snoke. Yeah,
yeah,
and that's what forces Rey to go and have the showdown. Well, I'm assuming that's what that red thing is—a showdown with Snoke at some point to go and save Leia. And Luke's like, "This is not."
So you think Leia ends up in the clutches of the First Order?
Yeah, she gets sold off by Laura Dern, basically. And then Laura Dern gets double-crossed.
Oh, I like that. Oh, Steve.
Steve, spoilers, crikey.
I like that. That's a really good... I like that. Really nice theory that Laura Dern, that Amelin Holdo would hand over Leia. Mm. Especially if you consider what Snoke is...
She's detrimental to to dialogue solution to this. That's what I said. I said to you, I think she was in, she's being held in a cell or something again.
Mm. Yeah, and it would make that would be a nice bit of poetry as well, wouldn't it?
A Porg's going to waddle in, and she's going to go, "Aren't you a little short for a Wookiee?"
Yeah,
he's going to go.
No, I'm Peter Porg. Yeah, I like. Where that's gone, actually, that's a nice little theory that she would be. And if you think about Snoke's desires, particularly for Ben Solo, it would make sense that he kills two Porgs with one stone and gets rid of Leia, gets Leia out of Ben's life, and also he's removed the head of the Resistance then at the same time, isn't he? That's very interesting.
Mm. And then maybe nipping ahead a bit, Her little toy saying "you're a monster" isn't in fact from Force Awakens. It's from her talking to Luke.
You have jumped ahead, haven't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
No. And then the last picture's from Neverending Story, so I thought I'd go ahead.
Yeah, all right, let's just get through that one. The only reason I put that in there was because that I love the look of this thing. This is one of the Falviers, one of the space racehorses that Finn and Rose use to escape Canto Bight. And I just thought that was really awesome, the size of that beast in that stable. I'm looking forward to that set piece. That's going to be cool. Mm. All right, so there's a corner image of Mark Hamill as Luke, which shows him...
Oh, his hand has got the glove on.
He's got the glove on. He's inside the cave, the tree cave on Octo, and he's got his books, his little Jedi library, which I think is pretty cool. It's a great look at Luke in this new dark sort of wardrobe. I think they're calling him Jedi Exile, this look, which is also pretty cool.
Where does he get leathers on a little island like that?
Well, this is, I think if you look at it, it looks, when you see it, when he's got his arms out, there's some images of him in wardrobe earlier on. It looks like it may have been patched together from some material that he had. Maybe it was a sheet that... they throw the engines on the ships when they're parked. Maybe he's just taken it apart and made clothing with whatever he had to hand. And this might...
It's pork skin.
This is pork skin. He's just killed 100 porgs, clubbed them with his lightsaber.
The books are also bound in them.
Yeah, that's creepy. He's like Ed Gein. He's the Ed Gein of Jedi. This library, I suspect we're going to learn a bit more about this in the new Star Wars, the Darth Vader comic book run. Because Jocasta Nu is going to feature in an upcoming issue. And I think she might have these books when she leaves the Jedi Temple. If they don't do that, I think they've missed a beat. But they could have done that so that these books transition from being on the shelves in the Jedi archives on Coruscant make their way out during the Order 66 and the Jedi purge with Jocasta Nu and make their way to Luke, eventually ending up here, which would be great. If they could do that, that would be wonderful. It's a great image, though. Really, really like it. All right, Steve, you buried the lead and announced that we had some dialogue. This dialogue has come from toys. This is the last thing we're going to talk about today. So here is a bunch of dialogue found. This is MakingStarWars.net. Corey over at MakingStarWars.net has picked up a bunch of these figures, used the Force Link technology to get their lines. And this is what he found. So DJ says, "Hey, I'm a thief," which I think is what kind of a throwaway sort of charismatic line. A bit like something you'd expect Han or Lando to be saying.
Yeah, definitely.
He also says, "Oh,
not so much Lando. He was classy still, wasn't he?"
He was classy until he was kind of pushed. But in Return of the Jedi, when he's on that skiff, he's some of the cool went, didn't it? But DJ also says, "Oh, for Hutt's sake," which I just think is absolutely class. "I can get you out of here if the price is right, and let's get this over with." So there's your those last three lines. They're your DJ lines right there, aren't they? The "I'll do this for money, not for anything else." Pretty cool lines. General Leia says, "Together we can defeat the First Order. May the Force be with you. Send them in. I will do everything I can to help."
Send who in?
"And all troops open fire." I will do everything I can to help. Is that not from The Force Awakens?
Possibly.
I think it is at the end when she's talking to Finn and he says, I want to rescue Rey. I think she says something along those lines there, but it could be Last Jedi related. Moving on to Rey. So Rey says, "I'm Rey. The Resistance sent me.
I'm Rey.
Help me with this quick, and you're a monster," which we said was possibly from The Force Awakens, but could be from this if she's talking to Luke. "The Resistance sent me," I find really interesting, because it seemed to be her intention to go there and train as a Jedi. But it looks like she's there to pull Luke back into the fight.
No, might be just two situations.
Yeah. What do you make of that, Steve? Do you think she's there? I mean, it looks like Leia sent her, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. Do I need to be privy to the trailer for the new trailer?
No, not at all. No, not for that.
This is Luke's lightsaber. Take it to him, but don't let him go on about the Force, for goodness.
Once he gets a roll on, you can never shut him up. All right, talking to Luke, this is what the Luke figure says. It says, "Reach out with your feelings. You shouldn't be here. How did you find me? No," with three O's.
No gate.
No, please not.
Like that.
And what do you know of the Force? So there's some Yoda-esque lines in there, but I think "you shouldn't be here," Steve, that might be the line that he first uses for Rey. Right when they first meet.
Well, then we're assuming that he knows exactly who she is then.
Every time.
We left you on a planet.
No, I think it's more like, "you shouldn't be here. This is private property." Maybe he does say no, and she says, "I'm Rey," and he's like, "no." So no, there is just no. Like Adam Sandler. "We're all going to laugh at you." I think "you shouldn't be here" might be one of the first lines he says when they first meet, and I find that pretty cool, pretty exciting stuff. That's going to be the curmudgeon, the cantankerous old curmudgeon that we're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all.
Hashtag curmudgeon.
Hashtag curmudgeon. Couldn't eat a whole one. So that's everything that come off the new Force Link action figures from over at MSW. Good work, guys. Right, should we do this last piece, this Rian Johnson on Carrie Fisher? He just made
before we lose technology again.
Before we lose the call yet again. So Rian Johnson made these comments about Carrie. So we'll just wrap up with this because I think this is a really lovely sentiment. So Rian said, "I felt very strongly that we don't try to change her performance. It's really sad, but really joyful. Having these scenes in the film recontextualized tragically with her not being here anymore is incredibly emotional. For the next few months, seeing fans process the loss and celebrate her as Leia one last time is going to be intense. I think it's going to be really sad, but really joyful, I hope. She really kicks butt as General Leia, and I'm happy for that. So one last time. Well, we know she won't be back. She didn't shoot anything for episode 9 before she passed away.
It kills off.
Hey everyone, it's Mark. So we had extraordinary technical difficulty this evening, and unfortunately we just lost the final moments of this call. We knew things were going to be a bit fractured because we had been losing calls left, right and centre throughout the evening. And what you've just missed is us wrapping up on our conversation about Carrie Fisher playing Leia in The Last Jedi and Ryan's heartfelt comments about her. So the only thing we did beyond this point really was wrap up the show. We knew we weren't going to get a nice clean recording after all the issues we were having. So we just decided to sign off. Unfortunately, I didn't get that, so I'm going to do that now. So thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars again this week. If you would like to take advantage of our Ron Burgundy guarantee and leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, we will read whatever you write in there verbatim. So if you wanted to promote something you're into, like a podcast or a blog, that's the place to do it. Just make sure you keep it clean because we are a family show. You can also send us your questions and comments to us. There's a number of ways you can do it. You can send us a message on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place. Leave a comment in the YouTube. If you're listening to the YouTube version of this rather choppy show this week, then leave a comment in there, and we will make sure that gets into the show notes for the next episode. Or you can email us directly. And if you send us an email to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com, we will include that in the next set of show notes. Or if you wanted to record an MP3 and send that in as a voicemail, you can do that to the same address. That's talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. All right, if you want to find the rest of us between episodes, you can do that by checking Steve out on Twitter @Stephen_Ware. Or search for Wild About Nature. He's also Wild About Nature on YouTube. Check out his work over there. It's fantastic. You can find everything Paul does at Movie Score News. He's at moviescorenews.com and moviescorenews on Twitter and Facebook, so it should be very easy to find him. You can find Rob at emotionally14.com or @RobWadeVision on Twitter. And you can find everything I do at talkstarwars.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter @TalkStarWars. You should check out starwarscommonwealth.com, that's our network, and you'll find our partner shows there. So you'll find quality work from Tumbling Saber, Generation X-Wing, the Rogue Squadron podcast, the Skyhoppers podcast, the Nerd Room, and the San Diego Sabres radio podcast over there, starwarscommonwealth.com. They're all putting out top-notch Star Wars content, and they are well worth your time. Okay, that's it for a rather trying evening. So my apologies that this is a somewhat strange edit this evening, but we really did lose most of the recordings. All right. We will endeavour to get a show out to you next week. It will be a slightly different one, listener feedback centric. So if you've got anything you want to ask, any comments you want to make about Star Wars, then please fire that over to the email address and we will get that in the show for next week. Okay, everybody, have a good one. Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Find us at starwarscommonwealth.com alongside
The Tumbling Saber Podcast,
The Generation X-Wing Podcast,
Rogue Squadron Podcast,
The Skyhoppers Podcast,
The TSW Roundtable,
The Nerd Room Podcast,
and San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast.
Head to StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world.
It's a wrap! It's a wrap.